All right. Today I'm joined with Mitchell Ramsey, owner of Ramsey Media and the J Street Pub in Schenectady, New York. Mitchell, thanks for joining me.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. Hey, so what's been going on? How's life at J Street Pub?
It's the bar life.
Yeah. How is life as a bar owner?
Depends on the day. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a great sound. Plenty of that. I just brought this. This is pretty good.
Yeah, what is this?
It's the Northway Brewing Sunrise Session IPA.
Nice.
Yeah, I had it actually at another bar, not even mine. And I was like, this is very good. So I figured, you know.
And now it's available at J Street Pub.
And now it's available at J Street Pub and the Biz and Brews.
That's delicious.
Is that tasty?
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing it over.
Yeah, of course.
So wanted to have you in because, one, you're a young entrepreneur, and that's kind of the focus of Biz and Brews. And you went to Plattsburgh State, my hometown.
Oh, yeah, the Dirty Berg.
Yeah, yes. You were quite the celebrity, the hometown celebrity at SUNY Plattsburgh. I've seen some of your videos.
Oh, and at one point, one of the most hated people there.
So what did you study at Plattsburgh State?
So it was actually originally business. And I was kind of just sitting in the same class over and over again. So those of you who understand business realize it's, you know, you either got it or you don't. And it's like, and it's basically just one, ethics and just, you know, morale, you know, and I'm just like, okay. So I finally went up to a one of the teachers, professors, whatever you want to call them. I don't think they deserve professor, at least at a state school. And I was like, hey, so you know, where'd you work before here? You know, all which did it's a big marketing class or whatever. And you know, he goes, oh no, I didn't you know, work after college. I went to school to become a business teacher. And I was like, so you've never worked anywhere? He was like, no. And I was like, all right, I'm done. You know, I can't sit there and be taught by someone who's actually ever worked in business themselves and say, this is what you need to do.
They learned how to write a syllabus.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Exactly.
And take attendance.
So, you know, it was that, you know, phone calls to my parents being like, yeah, I'm not going for business anymore. And they weren't even paying for it. That's the best part. I felt like guilty because like that's what my parents wanted for me. And I was like, no, I'm going to switch that to video production and audio production. And that was a tough couple months.
I'm going to become an artiste.
Yeah, exactly. I would go home and just like, you know, just piss my dad off. He'd have friends over, you know, I'd wear my waffle shirt and glasses. And they'd be like, Mitch, what's going on? I'd be like, no, you know, it's going pretty good. You know, I've just been working on this indie doc, Cheap Budge. You know, as I'm like pushing my hair off to the side.
Well, your parents have to appreciate it. They're both entrepreneurs, right?
They are. Yeah, they are. Yeah, my dad opened a glass shop, and my mom's a graphic designer. You know, nice. She was able to work from home. It was great for me because I'd come home at like 3 o'clock as a 9-10 year old. Most kids want to watch Rocket Power, SpongeBob, blah, 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 blah. I got Oprah.
Right there with you, homie. Every day after school.
So, you know, it's a catch 22. It was nice. Definitely helps me out now later in life when, especially talking to women.
And your parents are still a big part of your life. So after college, did you ever see yourself working for someone else or going into one of their businesses potentially?
You know, when I was younger, I was always like, hey, yeah, you know, I want to take over the family biz, you know, my dad's shop, until, you know, I got older and older and he's just said in my mind, he's like, you don't want to do this shit. You know, he's like, you don't want to be out there in, you know, the hot weather, this and that. And I was like, yeah, if you say so. So from, you know, like 14 on, I just try to come up with business after business. I mean, even in third grade, I got in trouble because I was selling pencil shavings to other kids. So it was, the idea was like, you know, made a thing like who had the longest pencil shaving from the, you know, the small little pencil sharpener. And I would sell them for 5 cents to the kids around the classroom. And, you know, that was the first out of many times I was sent to the principal's office for trying to wheel and deal.
This explains a lot about you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, seventh grade, I got almost suspended for trying to sell candy to kids out of my locker. And the principal was like, you know, you can't be doing that. I was like, why? They go, because, hey, you have candy. Kids like candy. I go, I know. That's why they buy it. She goes, well, if they buy it from you, they're not going to eat the food that we provide for them at the cafeteria. I go, I know. That's why they're buying it from me. She goes, you can't do it. I go, all right, fine.
Oh, entrepreneurial spirit at a young age. When eBay first came out, when I grew up, early phases of eBay, I found this listing called the Magic Box.
The Magic Box.
It was literally a listing. You didn't know what you were bidding on, and I could ship you anything.
Anything.
So people would literally bid and pay $20, and I'd go in my closet and find like an R.L. Stine Goosebumps book and send him a Goosebumps book that I just finished. And then one time I sent this guy, oh, I forgot what I sent him, but I got some strikes on eBay from him. He was livid. He thought it was going to be like an Xbox or something.
Something, right? What did he bid on it? $300, $400?
It was like $100. I sent him something worth about $1.50, and boo, that was the end of my days of selling the magic boxes on eBay.
Well, the thing is, like, who bids on a mystery box?
Exactly. You have to be a little, you're missing some screws.
And if you're going to be upset about $150, maybe you shouldn't be buying something you don't know what's inside.
You should go and take a financial planning class.
Yeah. Or go teach one.
Yeah. But those things are still a big thing on eBay. I found out recently that a friend of mine recently bought one.
Well, they were doing that on Amazon for something. People are selling garbage.
Yeah.
They're actually selling garbage.
But instead of giving like an R.L. Stine Goosebump, now people are giving like Gucci belts and Louis Vuitton bags and you're paying $30,000 for a box.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
It's just, they modified it over the years.
Gotta respect it.
Absolutely. All right. So you went to school for digital media and film, whatever it may be now.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to call it.
Audio, video.
Whatever. Audio, video.
Yeah.
I appreciate you helping with the audio before I started Biz and Brews back at the end of 2018.
Ah, those are good times.
Yes. Yes, indeed. When you were my neighbor right down the hallway.
A lot of brews and a lot of episodes the next day. We're like, we can't air that.
Yeah.
We can't air that.
4 a.m. recording an episode of Biz and Brews.
Yep.
Yeah. We're going to have to delete that one.
Yeah.
So what took you down the path to start Ramsey Media before we get into the J Street Pub?
I really enjoyed creating film. Right. You know, video production. I liked the business side of it as in where it was taking me. Right. So, you know, I was getting hired by local businesses and I was learning specifically just things that I never thought I would ever have knowledge of to this day. And it was interesting. And it was definitely a stressful point when I got out of school and I was like, I just want to give this a shot. And my parents were like, you need to go get a job at a TV station and start working your way up from there. And I was like, oh, it's like $20,000 a year. I was like, I don't know, that's going to support even my camera equipment. So I was like, all right, mom, dad, like, just give me 6 months. If I'm not moved out within 6 months trying to do this, I'll go get a job. And luckily it was like, I shit you not. It was like 5 months, 3 weeks in, like they're looking at me on the timeline. I had come up with this digital signage idea and it worked out pretty well. And I it was a great feeling going to my dad and be like, moving to Saratoga. And he's like, why are you going to waste your money going there? And then I showed him, it's like right on Caroline Street. He's like, you don't need to live above a bar, blah, 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 blah. Well, hey, it was 23. What, it was 2015? Come on, those are good days.
I'll tell you, the digital signage that you started doing, it amazed me because one day I was in a diner and I'm looking at this sign that's showing local advertisements. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. It's going through all the local businesses and I'm all for small business and supporting local businesses. And then I see Ramsey Media pop up at the end.
Oh man, that must have sucked.
I was like, oh God, that's not nearly as cool anymore.
You must have been more like, oh shit, he wasn't lying.
I never had doubt. So you actually, one of your early productions was a viral video at SUNY Plattsburgh.
Oh yeah, that was a thing.
Yeah. What was that?
It was called I'm Plattstered. And there's still a link floating around and it's not on YouTube anymore. It got taken down. But yeah, I remember basically for people who don't know what I'm Plattstered is even so back in like 2013 until like, around there, there was a video series called I'm Schmacked that was gaining a lot of popularity. And it was basically these guys would go to college campuses and they would film, just kids getting, fucked up and doing stupid shit. And, but at the same time, they were doing little montages of the school that they're at. And I remember being like, oh my God, it'd be so cool to go to that school. But I'm like, it's just video. It's not always like that. I was like, I should make one for Plattsburgh. And so, so I did. And, I got done editing it. I did it over about a 2 or 3 week span. And, I had just hit the upload button and I was like, well, I doubt that people are really going to care about it. Boom, 24 hours later. I mean, this thing had like 25,000-30,000 like hits on it and it was going rapidly. I was getting,
and that's before the day of like social media virality.
Oh yeah. I mean,
that's the early social media days.
Yeah. I posted it once on my personal Facebook page, that's just me. I knew people in college, but like the mutual friend, like span was only like 25, 30 people. And it just, boom, 24 hours. I couldn't believe it. I woke up the next morning to emails from marketing teachers and communications professors / teachers at the school asking for comment. And they're like, do you mind coming to my office? I go, oh, shit. You know, I'm like, all right, so.
These days are done. I'm a dad.
So, yeah, and I was like, shit. So I walk into this guy's office, and he looks at me. He's like, so I got to ask you, why'd you make this video? I was like, I don't know. I was just like, I just thought it'd be a good idea. He goes, do you care if I play this for the class? Because I just can't believe how virally it is just exploding. It's just going to be a great source of showing how mediums spread through blah, 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 blah. Yep. And I was like, if you want to, you know, and then he gets into, well, was the music license and this and that. I go, let's cut it back. It's YouTube.
Yeah. That was the days before you got strikes on your copyright infringement.
Mm-hmm. But, so it was interesting. And then, when I was making it, everyone loved it. And then the people that were in it after.
When they're starting to go for jobs.
Yeah. Well, there was a point I was banned from like every. I was the guy that you'd call because, like, hey, Mitch, mind like DJing for us tonight? This and that. I'm like, yeah, sure. No problem, guys. I got you. Boom. Video drops. People get into trouble. Yeah, dude, you can't come here anymore. Like, oh, all right.
You thought it was great when the camera was pointed at your face.
I literally go, hey, you guys are cool with me filming here? This is what I'm doing. Oh, heck yeah, man.
Yep.
It'll be a great time. Do it. Nope.
Yeah, apparently my mom's on Facebook, dude. You got to take that down.
Yeah, you said there's a piece in there that said I love drunk white bitches.
That needs to come back. No. Now I'm trying to apply for a job on Wall Street.
Yeah. So enough people flagged it. It got taken down off of YouTube. And then there's one link. I don't tell anyone where it is.
Nope, that's good.
Yeah.
Some things are better left in the archives.
But it was great, man. It was great.
So how's Ramsey Media doing nowadays? Are you focusing much on that, or have you really transitioned into J Street Pub?
So when the whole pub kind of idea came around, the media business really started taking a step back. And the media business was awesome. It would, you know, had really brought me to really cool places. I had gone to, like, you know, Munich, Germany, filmed with some people there. And then, actually the same guy was filming over there. We would do that week in India, you know,
And that was Bundage?
That was Brundage. Yeah, Steve Brundage. Yeah.
And for those of you that don't know who that is, he was the one on America's Got Talent.
Rubik's Cube.
The Rubik's Cube guy that went viral. Got out of a traffic ticket by flipping a Rubik's Cube.
Oh, amazing. That was crazy. That just blew him up right there. It was awesome. We were doing a lot of traveling for him. And I'll never go back to India. Ooh, that was bad. But that was fun. And then, what were you saying?
Yeah, so how are we transitioning from Ramsey Media into starting J Street Pub?
Yeah, so the media stuff was fun. And so the pub really kind of was just an idea at first. And I didn't actually think it was going to happen. But I was like, oh, I'll do a little recon, see if it's like worth going into, you know. Looked at a couple of places that were, you know, viable to actually have a pub in, and having to talk to a landlord that was like, you know, hey man, you cool with me putting a bar here? I'm 25. and then being okay with it. And so it started to really kind of pieces of the puzzle come together. I was like, I think this is possible. You know, I found an investor. And everyone's like, are you sure you can do this? I'm like,
I was one of those people.
Yeah. I was like, there's a lot of dumb motherfuckers out there. I was like, if they can do it, I'm like, I think I could at least half of that. So I did it. And I think it was more because people told me I couldn't do it. And I don't know who's getting the last laugh now.
That's a good mentality to have, but I'll tell you, I remember when we looked at where J Street Pub currently resides at 118 J Street in Schenectady, that facility that you brought me into that day, I just kind of stood in the middle of the room and I looked around and I'm like, huh,
no way.
This is your vision, eh? And I have a pretty graphic.
Yeah, I know. You figured it out.
I was like, oh man, I think I feel asbestos just floating on me right now.
There was no asbestos in there.
No, definitely none. No, not at all. When we were demoing that place, it definitely was not going in our mouth with no mask on.
No, yeah, definitely no lead paint dropping down on us, running wires.
Yeah.
No.
I'll tell you, I'm glad I got to be a part of that from the get-go, though. That was an experience, and to see what you're transitioning in today. It's one of the most hopping spots in Schenectady on any Thursday, Friday, or Saturday night, that's for sure. So how's business been over there?
Good. First year, you know, I had numbers that I had set, and you know, they were good, they were attainable, and it sounds arrogant, but you know, paid for my lifestyle. You know, the media business has definitely taken a back seat since doing it. It wasn't until going into year two, and I actually brought in this girl, Sarah Adamowski, and she really just took things right over. I mean, she just kind of like knew what she was doing. You know, I had never bartended until I opened the place, and she was like just someone that, you know, got really, you know, along with very quickly, and was able to tell me like, no, you're wrong. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, thanks for not just saying okay. And she has just really just boosted sales up tremendously. And I mean, we're up 30% on event days from the year prior. I mean, it could also be going into year two, but she's done a lot of changes that have definitely helped the pub for the better.
Yeah, Sarah's nice. And I'll tell you, anytime that I consider myself a regular at J Street Pub along with some of the neighbors, anytime that we walk in there and Sarah's in there, she makes it feel very welcome. And she's very easy to get along with. It's just one of those naturally people that you're just drawn to and you want to be around. So
oh yeah,
I'm glad that you guys were able to connect on a business level as well.
Yeah, I don't want to lose her.
Yeah, that's for
I'm
sure.
I'm trying to get her wrapped in more things, but I think you want to get into that a little bit later.
Yeah, no, we'll talk about that a little bit later. So let's talk back into the event space. So you came from Saratoga. We talked about how you moved there onto Caroline Street. And Saratoga is very big on events. We have Chowderfest. We have the Saratoga Brewfest. There's a lot of different events at all times of year. Obviously, track season for 8 weeks a year now, where they moved it up in dark days around Monday, Tuesday. Coming from Saratoga down to Schenectady, I see you've brought in a lot of the events, like Fall Fest that you just had back at the end of last year. Mm-hmm. Now there's a Soup Stroll in Schenectady. And your name comes up often in correlation with these events. So what have you done to really draw that kind of attraction to Schenectady, and what makes you keep reinvesting in Schenectady with these kind of events?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Schenectady's on the up and up. You know, that's no secret. And the events, it's, you know, there's a lot of money in events. And you start to just like watch numbers, you know, being produced. And I'm like, all right, we got to do something here. And we were actually really able to pull off that Fall Fest in only a month. I mean, we only planned it for 4 weeks.
That was a quick turnaround time.
Oh, yeah. And it was a super success. And I was like, can you imagine having 2 or 3 months preparation? You know?
And that was one thing where you really saw businesses come together to help each other. That morning, grinding, driving around in the truck, we were grinding that morning trying to get that Fall Fest set up. And everyone lent a helping hand. Oh, yeah. It really, I'm from a small town up in near Saranac. And it really had that small town feel, even down here in the capital region.
I know. Everyone was helping put stuff up. Even the vendors were like, hey, you need help with that tent? And yeah. I'm looking at Jess. I'm like, hey, dude, we need to grab the stage. Yeah. Where is it? It's like not here. So we got to go get it.
We got to go.
We got to go get it.
I'll tell you, from someone who moved into Schenectady, once I saw the harbor development occurring, I knew that this was going to be an area that I wanted to be a part of as it transitioned, because there was a lot happening in Schenectady.
A lot, yeah.
And I'll tell you, from a young professional standpoint, this city is not what it was previously portrayed as.
Oh, no. Even 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You know?
It's amazing the transition that Schenectady's had, and you're continuing to reinvest in it, as is the governor of New York State. So I want to take us down a little bit of a different path here. So Governor Cuomo recently announced Schenectady as one of the 10 downtowns in New York State that were awarded $10 million as part of his downtown revitalization initiative.
Yeah.
And I was pretty proud to see that you were on the board for the city of Schenectady.
I was just as surprised. Don't worry.
So the chairs are Mayor McCarthy and co-chair Dave Buco. He is the CEO of Glessy Group here that actually created the harbor. He was the one that had the vision of making the harbor here about 10 years ago. So you have some big names backing this and making sure this is money well spent in this city. And you're on the local planning committee representing the J Street area of the city. What can you tell us about some of the initiatives that are being talked about within that planning committee for the city?
Yeah, so it's $10 million doesn't even sound like a lot, but it's to leverage like another like 100 plus million in the long run, right? So the idea is like, oh, you know, we have this empty lot, you know, what do we do with it? Or, you know, let's say, hey, we have this old textile building. It's going to cost $500,000 to clean it up, but is there a possibility of reinvestment on there because of it? Right. So we get rid of it, does that bring in and put someone to build a $6 million, you know, $10 million project and offer this kind of, you know, tax base later on?
Excellent.
I thought you had a cough or sneeze.
No, you're good.
So the entire concept of the initiative is pretty cool. So, you know, there, it's a panel with me and obviously the, you know, what you were talking about, you know, Dave and Mayor McCarthy, having to choose projects that are going to be completed. And, it's a panel of me and like 16 others. And, you know, it's a state run project. And that's what was really new for me is the transparency that had, it has to be through everything.
Yeah. You know, there's members of Governor Cuomo's team on this project.
The members there, they bring a consulting firm in and those guys are really great. You know, I sit there and I kind of like try to see through. I'm like, all right, like, I think they know what they want. Like, we're just here to make sure it looks good for the public, you know?
Yep.
And, but they have some, you know, great ideas. The consultants, they keep everything right on track and are really able to steer the entire process. Makes it easy for us, you know?
Those are the people that you want to learn business from back at SUNY Plattsburgh.
Exactly.
Not the ones that went to school to become a business professor.
Exactly. And, you know, it's tough because when you're dealing with the public, you know, everyone's got an opinion, you know, and everyone wants to make it hurt. And we got to sit there and be like, all right, you know, yeah, okay, that's great, you know. But currently, the preliminary ideas that have been brought forth in the initiative so far is like they want to make, you know, City Hall this big center, you know, center square. And they want to put like 500,000 just into lighting, just boom, just blowing up, you know, City Hall. And then they want to invest like another 800,000 just right down on this J Street walkway, which is a nice little commuter, you know, brick paved area.
Yeah. It reminds me of like a Church Street Marketplace in Burlington or like a cobblestone court down Manhattan in like the financial district. It's a very walkable area with like shops and restaurants and bars.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And
home to J Street Pub.
Home to J Street Pub right at the end of it.
Yeah.
You know, what is it? The Yellow Brick Road home, right? You know,
exactly. Pretty much.
So all those kind of ideas are coming together and they're to help kind of just also boost, you know, more investment. Someone says, oh wow, the street looks so great now. Let's buy this old building and move forward. So the downtown area is part of a opportunity zone. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't know where that is or, you know, how to get involved. But an opportunity zone is basically, it's a state kind of regulated area that allows you to defer capital gains as long as you're investing in, you know, business and or property. And if you hold the property for more than 10 years, normally with, you know, how prices increase, like you don't lose any money.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a win-win for everyone.
It's a win-win. Yeah. Why not? You know, you're not losing any money, but then again, you can invest in business and make more money back out of it. I mean, it's kind of, it's a no-brainer. So there's a lot of those projects, that were brought up for just infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Now they're letting people submit ideas who aren't even part of, you know, government. Right. So you could be a developer and be like, hey, we have this idea. We need, you know, this is what we're able to bring to the table. Are you willing to give us any money for it? Right. So now this, you know, as this committee, we have all these applications that have come forward and now they've been dwindled down to ones that we're going to start, you know, having to vote on. Like, oh, we would love to have a, you know, aquatic center, you know.
Absolutely. Or, that's big in the news right now.
Yep. Or, you know, we would love to do this here. And we as a committee go, yeah, we think that's a good idea. We think it brings, you know, better, you know, life down the road for Schenectady.
And these are really looking at long-term initiatives to help the city maintain the level of growth that it's experienced in the last 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, and that's just the beginning. I mean, Cuomo just also signed another 300-something million for the Erie Canal. Mm-hmm. You know, redoing that.
Because the Mohawk Harbor, for those that are not familiar with it, it's a development that's on the Mohawk River that's part of the canal system that has really drawn a lot of business because, I'll tell you, the casino development, the Druthers opening up here on the harbor, the Shaker and Vine opening up, which is a self-serve wine bar, all of that is bringing business through the canal system to Schenectady directly.
Well, it's a passageway for people from the city, too.
Yeah. You know? This canal system can take people throughout. Oh, yeah. The entire New England, Northeast Corridor.
Weren't we outside one time? This guy was going buying some big, or he parked and he was like, oh, yeah, we're bringing like LeBron's boat to
that
like.
That was insane. Going to the Bahamas.
He's like, yeah, we're just moving his boat from like this lake over, you know.
I think it was like up in Michigan and he was going down to the Bahamas. He pulled in and joined us at the fire pit. And he was like our age. He's like, yeah, I grew up in a family that just charters boats and I do it about four times a year and I'm good for the year. And yeah, I'm like, must be nice.
Man. Must be nice.
That thing took up the entire harbor.
It was, oh God, it was,
that was insane. So along with developments in Schenectady, one of them is the Mill Artisan District. Mm-hmm. We see Frog Alley Brewing down there.
Yep, yep.
We see Bountiful Bread coming in. We see a lot of other businesses there looking at that area. A lot of high-end apartment complexes that are being built in that area, along with housing at the Mill Artisan District facility. And you're looking to expand your portfolio of businesses in the Capital Region in that part of Schenectady. So why don't you take me through that project?
Yeah, yeah. Everyone's been asking now.
This is the preview, the release.
Yeah, I posted a photo on Instagram.
Cryptic photo on Instagram.
Yes, it was. And on Facebook, it was this, you know, it's not even built yet. You're looking at still at the beams and, you know, there no walls are up and still a concrete floor. And I'm just like, super excited to tell everyone about the new 4,000 square foot, you know, addition, you know, and everyone thinks it's a bar. It is not a bar. And everyone was super surprised to hear that it's not a bar. No, it's going to be a shared workspace.
Yep. Awesome.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those that are popping up around the Capital Region. I don't know, like the Bull Moose Club in Albany, mm-hmm, the Troy Garage.
Yeah. I mean, there's an Urban Co-Works right here in downtown.
Urban
as well.
Co-Works. Yep. Yeah. There's one that just opened up on Broadway in Saratoga as well. Mm-hmm. So
they actually did a women's co-work down there and it's like super successful. I'm like, oh, I want to do that.
That's awesome. those are the kind of things that you need because it drives that entrepreneurial spirit and it allows people the opportunity in this digital age, these kind of co-working spaces, which allow people to be creative. A lot of business can be done online only. You don't need to be in front of your customer face to face. And my sister actually, one of my sisters owns a fashion agency that was based in Manhattan and she moved to Austin, Texas because one of her biggest clients was in Mexico and that was just the proximity, but obviously the benefits of living in Texas.
Yep, Austin definitely too.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Austin's booming right now. She's building a home in Austin. So congrats Annie on that as well. So she can still do her business in New York City remotely and run that fashion agency from Austin, Texas.
Yeah, it's incredible.
So tell me about your co-working space and what differentiates it from the ones that are already around the Capital Region.
So the ones that we have, you know, that are around now, they're pretty baseline. You know, they're I work in finance or I do this, but I'm just trying to get out of the house and, you know, or away from, you know, where I work now for, you know, a day or 2 weeks. So I like to have a desk here or a spot, whatever. So mine's a little bit different. It's media oriented. So you can't just be that insurance guy or, you know, some Joe Schmo, maybe try to do something.
It just wants to escape their coworkers in their office for a day.
Yeah. And this is not for them. This is media based. So if you're a videographer, photographer, graphic artist, you know,
podcast host,
podcaster.
Yes.
You know, even if you're actually in, you know, the press, you know, it's all the same. And we're limited in that space. So we're hoping that the demand is there more. And what's great is that you're surrounded by like-minded, right? So if I could be sitting there right next to Justin, we both have a desk inside my place. And, I go, hey man, I've been working on this video project. I go, can you come take a look at it? You know, Justin has the eye. He knows what he's doing. He's not just grabbing his first camcorder and making a video. You know, he's got some talent. So I can, you know, he can walk over and be like, hey, blah, blah, blah. That looks good. Or look at Justin and go, hey man, you have a lot of recording equipment. Can you help me record a voiceover later? I'll shoot you $100. You know, at least I know that the people that are in the same space as me are of the exact same, you know, educational and experiential level that I can trust them, you know? Mm-hmm. So the idea is the first 2000 square feet. So it's a 4,000 square foot facility. The top 2000 square feet is going to be mainly desk space, you know, very modern, very chic, mm-hmm, you know, a client meeting room, And there'll be some other things in the mix that I haven't gotten down pat yet, but I think they're viable. And then the lower 2000 square feet is going to be a fully operational studio. So you have a recording, you know, studio there, booths inside. So, you know, if we do need to do a voiceover, we can do it inside there. Mm-hmm. And then there'll be a green screen room in a white room, white wall room for like product photography. So it's very targeted towards someone in the media business. So it's so I know that like when I got out of college, I wish I had a place like this to go to. Mm-hmm. You know, I work from home and I just wanted to not be by myself every day. And being able to just, you know, I couldn't float $2,000 for rent, but I could float $300, you know, and have a desk. But now, because I'm spending $300, I have access to this entire studio space downstairs. This can bring me much bigger clients. And that's the idea.
You're building a massive network of like-minded individuals. Mm-hmm. That's the hardest part in a creative space.
Oh, yeah.
I know a ton of people. I don't know a ton of creative individuals that are in the shared media space that enjoy, like, this is a hobby for me. Mm-hmm. If I can meet people in the space that share the same interest with me,
yeah,
from going into this, it's a win-win for everyone.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. And that sounds like it's going to be really exciting and something that is definitely needed in this area. That's something that you only find in major metropolitan areas. So yeah. I think that'll be a big gain.
And a huge thing. So we're actually also in talks with SCC, Schenectady Community College, start actually offering classes for beginner like editing 101.
Shout out to Steady.
Yes. Shout out to Steady. I know. So that's pretty exciting too, because they've been really cooperative and like really looking forward to this idea as you know, but you know, there might be some red tape that gets in the middle of that, you know, it's not 100%, but.
Schenectady Community College is a very progressive institution, I should say, with the culinary school, the brewing classes that they've started up,
yeah,
the media. So this kind of collaboration is huge for them in growing their enrollment.
Oh yeah. I mean, the media industry is just, it's growing exponentially, you know, I'm in it, but everyone's an artist these days, you know, but it's at this point. So now we have to differentiate those who think they're good and those who are actually good. And that's what this kind of workspace is for. So, you know, there's only going to be about 15, 20 desks inside, but we're also offering memberships for people to be able to just access studio space when the members aren't using it. You know,
absolutely. Where are we at in the progress in this?
Definitely in the beginning stages. Yeah. You know, just signed the lease, and you know, now we're putting together budget plans and seeing how we're really going to make this kind of just come to fruition in a timely manner.
Well, nice. Congratulations on the new project. I look forward to checking it out and maybe setting up Biz and Brews in there down the road.
Yeah, I mean, you have a lot of people to talk to.
Absolutely.
So I can pull it off.
Give me 30 seconds of what's going on in Mitch Ramsey's life with J Street Pub. Anything that the listener should know about?
The pub. Oh, so yeah, we got some more events coming up down the road. You'll be the first to know here, so no one else knows about this. So we are doing a country fest. I believe in June.
I'm all for that.
Right. So we're getting some country acts together. You know, we can't bring mainstream names. I don't have that kind of budget, you know, but you know, we've been talking to Skeeter Creek and a few, we're securing some dates and, that's gonna be a big one. I'm super excited for that. Cause then I don't have to buy tents.
Absolutely. Setting up those tents was a pain.
And a big one that no one has heard yet is
we're getting a lot of breaking news from Mitch Ramsey today. I appreciate you saving this for me.
So so Sarah and I had to stop kind of like talking about our ideas because there's some other places in downtown that wound up taking them.
Oof.
Oh yeah, yeah, and then they do it better than us. That's the worst part.
Oh no.
The one we have coming up later in the spring is we're doing a Battle of the Bands.
Nice.
And they used to do it, you know, a few years back, and then they stopped and. We're ready to blow this one up. So
one of my coworkers actually that I've known since I was a little kid was in Battle of the Bands up in Plattsburgh.
Oh, really?
So yeah. Oh yeah. I'm glad you're bringing that back. That's awesome.
I think it'll be a fun day.
What about dueling pianos one day?
Dueling at the pub?
Yeah.
I just don't have the space.
I think we can make it work.
We can probably make it work.
Electric pianos?
I mean, I ain't working.
That's one of my most favorite events. I'll tell you, one time I was down in Washington, D.C. for a work event. And one of my coworkers had never been to a dueling pianos.
Really?
And they were up on a stage. So it really put you when you went up there to request a song.
Oh, yeah.
It really put you at the forefront. Everyone was looking at you. And he walked That's up funny. There and he put that little ticket down on the piano.
Man, they'll tear you to an asshole, too.
Oh, man. They stopped. And he hadn't made it about down the second step coming back down off the stage. And they said, hold up.
Hold up.
And they grabbed his ticket and they said, folks, just we might give you a little. Area of expertise here on how to request a song at dueling pianos. This right here is a request that'll never get played. Can anyone tell me why? and they waved it around and they go, because there's no money attached to it. And they publicly shame my coworker. But I'll tell you, that's one thing that I think that you should just put on the roadmap. That's my 2 cents.
So I was actually just at a place that had that a couple months ago. And so he's like, we have Venmo now. Request your song on Venmo. So I was like, I can do that.
I can't imagine how much more money they're going to make.
You know,
that's endless.
They weren't really doing it though. They weren't really bringing the money from it. Surprisingly, people were like more apprehensive. They also had a handle that was really hard to find. That's their biggest problem.
Exactly. QR code. Walk up. Scan my QR code.
Right.
Send me Venmo.
So I Venmoed and I was like, these are the songs. I think it was like one was like Eminem. I said Billie Eilish and I think probably Vanessa Carlton, 1,000 Miles. And they were like, who's this Mitchell Ramsey guy? No, we're not playing any of that. You know, he's like, what is this? You know, like a middle school, you know, show or, you know, rec night. I was like, oh man,
I will tell you your music taste. Some days I'm like, this is amazing. And there's other days I'm like, Mitch, so, what's going on here, dude?
So they didn't play any of the music. So I requested it
back. The Venmo back. Yeah.
Oh man. He stopped the entire show.
Same thing.
Oh yeah. Just, he's like, you can't request it back. Oh my God. About how cheap I am. It was amazing. I laughed so hard.
How much did you Venmo him?
I gave him $25 to play one song, and he didn't do it.
All right, wherever you're listening to, leave a comment whether or not you would have Venmo requested that money back.
Yeah, he didn't play it. He played. People were bringing up $4, and he was playing their song. I'm like, I can pick a different song.
My favorite is when they play like a song that's very specific to New York or to Boston, and people are like, "No, no, no." I'm paying $20 for you. Stop playing that right now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That, yeah.
Big time. Those guys make a killing. The first time I went to that, I was like, YouTube, how do I play the piano?
And then after like 4 minutes, like, nah, I'm not doing that.
No, I'm good. Yeah, I'm not doing that. It's like when I tried to play the guitar.
Oh, so fun fact. Mm-hmm. Not to go back to the harbor or anything, but you know they're putting in a golf simulator here?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
I was in the mail room and Dave walked by and he's like, I had about 17 Amazon boxes in my arms and I looked like Wilson from Home Alone, just looking over the fence. And he goes, hey neighbor. And I was like, what's up, Dave? He goes, I have good news for you. I was like, what you got? He goes, we're putting in a golf simulator. And I think that project's still going along.
Yeah.
I don't know where it's at, but that'll be an exciting day when I can walk downstairs, a dangerous day between the brewery, a self-serve wine bar and a golf simulator. I either need a pay raise to hit the lottery or get the hell out of here.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
But
well, it's always nice when you show up to the pub. Moneybag will do show up.
Oh,
there.
No. All right. Well, on that note, we are going to call it a night. Mitch, I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule between the development of Schenectady, the J Street Pub, Ramsey Media, and your new venture. What are we going to call this new venture? Do you have a name for it?
Electric Media Works.
Electric Media Works. Mm. Awesome. Well, congratulations on that. And I look forward to future developments and appreciate you.
Yeah, there's a new bar coming too, by the way. That's another podcast.
Oh, we're going to save that one.
Yeah, purchasing a building and all.
Folks, I appreciate you tuning in, and we will catch you on the next episode.
How was it?